Welcome to Adventure. My name is Jonathan. Discipleship, it's Adventure's 101 ministry. I think all of us in life need a mentor at some point, somebody who can just kind of walk with you and kind of get you up to speed. And that's what we would like to offer. You may be new to Adventure, in which case, welcome. And you may be new to Christian faith. In those cases, would you join us at discipleship? Again, this is about an 8-week 101, just at Starbucks or at home, and you get to ask questions that you always wanted to ask in a safe place. So if you're interested in finding more about discipleship, would you fill this a connection card? Just put your name and contact information and put discipleship and put it in the offering basket in the back. Also, a couple of announcements here. Man, this Friday, do I have the clicker? Oh, here we go. Men's movie night on the third Friday. This is the first men's gathering of the year. And so if you feel a little bit disconnected, you're in good company. And this is the first time that we can get together and watch movie and hang out. And so join us 7 o'clock this Friday, the 3rd. And have you signed up for community groups? It's started, and there's a new one that's not on the website. It's called Love and War, which is a couple's study to be able to go deeper as a husband and wife. And we did this about a year ago as a big group, like a 50 couples showed up, and it was absolutely powerful. It really transformed my wife's and my marriage life as well. So if you're interested in couples group, Love and War, starting February 8th, again, it's not online, so would you fill out this connection card, put your name and information, contact information, and just put Love and War, okay? And another thing is this coming week, February 11th, next week, second annual rain... Gutter, regatta. This is sponsored by Children's Ministry, but actually it's for all families. So those of you who feel competitive, come and race a sailing boat. By the way, it costs only $15 for the whole family, and they will provide you with lunch. They will provide you with a sailing boat. Not the big one, the little one. And you get to enjoy. So, yeah, join us on the 11th at 10 o'clock. And, yes, Debbie.
Good morning. I'm not bringing the message. But I do get to share with you a few of my very favorite things. I was just spending some time with the Lord this morning and just kind of thinking about what do I love. And one of the things I love is laughing. I also love to be mischievous once in a while. And I also love to keep my husband guessing. And right now he's wondering how long is this list, because he needs some time also up here. I love the women at this church. They, each of you bring something really unique to this body, and I love that. And I was just asking the Lord for a picture this morning, and he said, you guys are risk takers. You go to a small church where you can be known. You can't hide here. You are lovers of Jesus. I see that with so many of you. And you're filled with passion. Another thing that I love is time with Jesus, an encounter with him. And I've been praying, we've been praying, the women's leadership team, for the retreat coming up in March. And he has promised to come. We have asked Jesus to come. He said, where two or three are gathered, I will be there, right? And so if there's only two or three of us, which I already know there's more than that because some of you have signed up, but he's going to come, and we want to encounter Jesus like Isaiah did and just fall at his feet and be able to say, holy, holy are you. And so I just am inviting you to come.
And lastly, we want to ask you for your prayers. There is a team from Adventure going to Ethiopia. They're leaving this Friday on the 3rd and gone for about 10 days. This is a team of our youth leaders and mission to go over there and to train 30 of Campus Crusade college students, and also to meet high school students who are involved with Campus Crusade. And we will be teaching them the kind of things that we're learning, how to listen to God, how to fight, and how to regain the ground that was lost to the enemy. So Pastor BJ, our youth pastor, and Seth and Beth, Lydia, Kirsten, and myself, six of us are leaving this Friday. So for the next couple of weeks, we really covet your prayers for Ethiopia.
Hi, you guys. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm Randy, and I'm lead pastor here at Adventure, and need to pray. And buckle our seatbelts, see where the Lord's going to take us, okay? So, Jesus, come. Come. We need you. We need you more than we realize. I need you. And Lord, you have things you want to give to your sons and daughters that you want to invite us into this morning. I pray for fearlessness on the part of your people. Your fearlessness to fill this place. Shut down the enemy, his efforts to steal, his efforts to distract. Lord, break down all false weariness. We reject it. And Lord, we invite your presence. Come, Jesus, fill this place and anoint us today for what you have for us to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you are reading through the Bible chronologically with us. We're started a year in the Bible reading through it, and so you've read the passage in Genesis where Jacob is fleeing from Esau, and he spends the night in a field. He lays down, and you know, I've always pictured, you know, it says he put a rock under his head. Can you imagine sleeping on with a rock under your head? I mean, it seems like that would really hurt. And I'm sure he's got his cloak over him, and he's, you know, under the stars, and he goes to sleep, and he sees he has a dream from God of angels ascending and descending. Remember that? And then he wakes up, and do you remember what he said? The Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. The Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. And then he set up a bunch of rocks as a pillar, which is called an Ebenezer, which is, you know, he said, because this is the house of God. He has figured this must be where God lives. I stumbled onto it. And he had an experience. He had an experience of the manifestation of the presence of God. Have you ever had an experience of the manifestation of the presence of God in your life? They used to do these region-wide pastor prayer weeks where we'd go for 4 days. 100, 200 pastors all over would pray for 4 days straight, like 10 hours a day. And I went to one of these, and I was praying 2 days. 2 days into it, I was frustrated out of my mind because I was not breaking through. I mean, I was seeking God 2 days. I was praying and not feeling like I'm connecting with God. And the third day, they put us in a small group setting, you know, maybe 15, 20 guys, and we were there. And I asked for prayer because I have allergies. It's like, hey, would you guys pray for my allergies to be healed? And so these guys gathered around me, and this one guy put his arm on my shoulder, his hand on my shoulder, and he said, Lord Jesus, would you fill Randy with your love? And something like liquid love, I can't explain it. It was like electricity energy came down into me, and I felt more loved than I've ever felt before or since. I was high for a month. I came back to church the next Sunday, and I was like, Jesus rocks! You know, I was just fired up, you know, and in December, some of us, that was years ago, in December, some of us went to Colorado for a retreat, and during this retreat, they took one of the sessions, and they just put on some worship music, some kind of quiet worship music in the background, and they said, we're going to spend an hour soaking in the presence of God. Which I thought was just like novel concept, you know. So it's like just sit in your chair, just invite Jesus to come, just listen to the Lord, just worship Him in your heart. And so I'm there, you know, kind of nothing's happening. 15 minutes goes by, and then the speaker gets up and he says, "I feel like just grab the mic just for a second." He said, "I feel like the Lord is saying that He wants some of you to invite Him to come specifically to you and touch you." And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I invite you to come and touch me. And in my mind's eye, I saw Jesus come and take my left hand and stand there. And for the next 45 minutes, He spoke to me about my heart and about His love for me. And it was awesome. It was awesome. Have you ever had an experience like that? Anything like that? You ever had an experience where the manifestation of the presence of God? I know this. There's a difference between attending a church service and experiencing the Lord's presence. There's a difference between attending a Christian gathering and experiencing the anointing of the Lord. And I think we need the anointing of the Lord. I think we need the manifestation of the presence of God. And why am I talking about this? Because God has given us a vision this fall and a mission with it from Ezekiel 37. And that is to raise up an army from dry bones and take back territory from the kingdom of darkness for the kingdom of God. And I want to read the passage to you again from Ezekiel, and I want to focus in today on the beginning and the ending of that passage, because I think the beginning and the ending of that passage are the absolute most critical thing that we need to talk about. And the very first line goes like this. The hand of the Lord, Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was on me. What does that mean? The hand of the Lord was on me. And He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. And then He said to me, prophesy to these bones. And the word prophesy is not a weird word. It just means preach. Here in the context, speak to them. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and I will come, and you will come to life, and I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone, and I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. And this is the second part of the passage I want you to pay attention to. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breath, from the four winds, breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. The hand of the Lord was on me. What do you think that means? And how is that different from sort of my day-to-day Christian life? Is it different? What does it mean, the hand of the Lord was on me? Was he experiencing something different than normal? Yeah. What do you mean?
Meaning that you are completely surrendered to the presence of the Lord. You have no control over the situation.
Sounds like you had an experience. So the hand of the Lord is on me is an experience?
Yeah.
It's a happening? How is it different from just business as usual, your normal day? And the hand of the Lord is on you. Yeah. There's a clarity and focus that I've experienced. Yeah. Good. Anybody else? How's it different? Okay. You can feel it versus typing on a computer, okay? What do you mean? You know you're not going to get away with that. No, you're good. When the hand of the Lord is upon me and I meet with people, it's like I can see what's going on with them. Yeah, I couldn't see it otherwise. There's an insight that good. Interesting. Well, there's a couple other passages I want to point out. The hand of the Lord is upon me, that's kind of Old Testament, right? That's Old Covenant. Ezekiel. Is that an occurrence for Christians today? Is that supposed to be the way? Are there times where the hand of the Lord's upon you, and then maybe times where it's not so much? Today, in the New Covenant, New Testament Church, and I would suggest that there's some data for that. Revelations 1, on the Lord's day, the Apostle John says, "I was in the Spirit, and heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches," and he wrote the book of Revelation. Ephesians 6, Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, requests, and with this in mind, be alert, always keep on praying for the saints. The context of Ephesians 6 is spiritual warfare. He's just given us the armor of God, and now he's saying, and because you're in a world at war, and there is a dark enemy, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. How would you describe this phenomenon of being in the Spirit? How have you experienced it? Maybe two or three. We don't have a lot of time, but two or three. What have you experienced of this being in the Spirit? How's that happened to you, Karen? Okay. So you felt like, so is that, what's a time where you've experienced like the hand of the Lord was upon me? You've what's a time where you've experienced that? Right now. Okay. Cool. Somebody else. What's something you've experienced? Hand of the Lord is upon you. Yeah. Awesome. I will teach this. I want to hear about your experience. So how did you experience the Spirit moving and the hand of the Lord on you? That's what I'm looking for. What did you guys experience? What's it looked like? Because there's people who've never experienced it. Yeah. God, awesome. Awesome. Hand of the Lord was upon you. Good. Rich. So you experienced it like a sense of intimacy with Him. Would you? We're talking about being in the Spirit. When John was going on the Lord's Day, I was in the Spirit. Does that suggest that maybe the day before he wasn't? We're not theologically talking about that question yet. I will, trust me. That's where we're going. But first I want to talk about what was he experiencing being in the Spirit? Are there times you've experienced being in the Spirit or the hand of the Lord is on you and it's different than business as usual. What's that like? Back to Lawrence. That's awesome. Thank you. Good. Good. Yeah, Chris. Wow. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Yeah. I bet. All the arguments with the husband probably just went out the window. Yeah. That's good. Well, I want to suggest that these phrases, in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, the hand of the Lord was upon me, they are phrases that Scripture is using to describe a heart that is surrendered to the Holy Spirit's control. A heart that is willing to enter into the supernatural. Not every Christian has that heart, willing to enter into the supernatural. Why? Fear of what? What's going to happen? Loss of control. We're terrified to be in a situation where we're out of control. And so if we fully surrender to God, if He wants to take us into some supernatural experience, then are my eyes going to roll back into my head, my head spin around, you know, and, you know, turn into a zombie? What is He really like? Is He the zombie God? Or is He the God of order, wisdom, love, kindness, right? What's His character like? He's not going to take you into some... Anyway, so it needs to... It's describing the heart of somebody willing to be out of my own control. A heart tuned in to the Spirit of God. A heart tuned into the unseen realm. A heart tuned in to what God is up to and starts to see what God sees. Like Judy was saying, when I'm in the Spirit, I can see things that I couldn't see. And that's always true. When I meet with people, it's always true. When I seek the Lord first, I see things that I wouldn't have seen. But I think also it's a heart that God places His hand on. Because I can do all of this. Okay? I can surrender, be surrendered. I can be tuned in. I can be expressing my heart toward the Lord. But that doesn't always mean that the Lord says, boom, go pray for this person. Boom, I'm going to speak to you right now about this. It also means that God places His hand on you and moves and brings His Spirit to move you. Jacob had a dream and woke up and said, the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. And then he built a pillar. And then I think he made the mistake that we've been making for thousands of years. He tied the manifestation of the presence of God to a place. And we do it. We tie it to a place or an event or a building, you know. But if the manifestation of the presence of Jesus Christ is not in a building or a place or an event, then what brings the presence and the anointing of God? What brings the presence and anointing of God? Okay, so now we're going to go into our little bit of theology parenthesis, okay? Parenthetical moment. The Scripture seems to say two different things that seem conflicting. So the Scripture seems to support two seemingly opposing concepts. Concept number one is, God's presence is here all the time. Deuteronomy 31. He said, the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you and will what? Never leave you or forsake you. Jesus reiterates this in Matthew 28. Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So where is He? He's with you. But God's presence is also called in by our actions and our pursuit. James 4:7, draw near to God and He will what? Who makes the first move? What's required? A move. Right? You got to do something to get the manifestation of the presence of God there. In Acts chapter 4, the people had received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and then Peter gets some major persecution, goes back, tells the church, they lift their voices for hours in prayer together. And then it says, and after they lifted their voices and cried out to God, when? After the place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. This is New Testament Christians. New Covenant Christians. How are they filled with the Holy Spirit again? Can you be refilled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, you can. Did you lose the filling of the Holy Spirit? No, you didn't. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that having believed, you're marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's your deposit, guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions in Christ Jesus. You are locked, baby. The Holy Spirit's there. He doesn't leave. You're sealed, but there's this filling, this praying in the Spirit. There's two things going on here. And maybe the filling of the Spirit is more mysterious and dynamic than simply being sealed. Maybe there's a dynamic nature to the manifestation of the presence of God that we need to start to become aware of and open to. I'm inclined to conclude that both of these are somehow true. And I think God is available to us daily like a passenger in my car. He's there. But he can be ignored. And then, you know, sort of silently waiting. But if I invite him and engage him in conversation, you know, depending on how I do that and the heart with which I do that, his presence, like anybody else's presence, will manifest itself. Okay, so if I ignore Debbie, my wife was up here doing the announcement for the women, that's my wife Debbie. If I ignore Debbie in the passenger seat of the car and we're driving on a long trip, and I ignore her, she will be far less present. Okay? She'll be there physically, but where is her mind, her heart, her will, her emotions going to be? Probably on her to-do list or the kids or, you know what I mean? She's going to be all over. Maybe she'll be like, you know, texting. But will I be experiencing the manifestation of her presence? Not so much. But if I pursue her mind and her will and her emotions, then I will be experiencing the manifest presence of Debbie. So, Ezekiel 37, back to that. Let's look at the end of it, because this is a really powerful thing that brings this all together. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Now the word breath here is the Hebrew word ruach, and it's the word wind. Some of you who are students of the Word of God know that that's like, that word wind, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, is like the pinging of a ball-peen hammer on a anvil. Okay? And so, he said to me, prophesy to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O wind, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, I preached, and breath, wind, entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. I believe this was what was in Jesus' mind. This prophecy was what was in Jesus' mind in John chapter 3 when he said, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I believe Jesus was saying that it requires the Holy Spirit to come in, the wind of God to come in and fill us. For these dead bones to come to life. It requires the Spirit moving and the Spirit coming, the manifestation of the presence of God. I think we need this. I think we need the manifestation of the presence of Jesus. We need the anointing of God. We need the moving of His Spirit in our personal lives where our bones are dry. And we absolutely need it to build an army. And this is something you can't make happen. Because why? What's required? Why can't you make it happen? God has to respond. Right? God has to respond. I can cry out for it. I can prepare my heart for it. I can surrender. I can be willing to enter in the supernatural. I can live in repentance. I can draw near. I can allow my desire to be nearer to God and express itself to Him. I can pray to Him and say, God, I need You. I want You. I can cry out. But ultimately, for the filling of the Holy Spirit and the place to be shaken, the Spirit has to come. God has to respond. Matthew Price, some of you know, he's a part of a ministry in Fruitland, Idaho, called Fearless. And they have been inviting the Holy Spirit to help them pray for healing for people. And he said, Randy, we've got over 40 miraculous healings this past year. People where we pray for their healing. We have some in our church where they've come and prayed and people have gotten healed and supernatural movement of the Lord. And when he was here over Christmas, he and I were hanging out by Starbucks, and I was like, so tell me, what have you learned about, as you've walked in this, what have you learned? And here's what he said. It really interested me. He said, when the presence of the Lord is manifest, when the Lord's presence is there, and I'm talking about the difference between attending church and experiencing when you've experienced the presence of the Lord. Okay? The anointing of the Holy Spirit, the movement of the Spirit of God. He said, when the presence of the Lord is there, 100% of the time, people that we pray for get healed. That's the stats. But when we walk around, and we do, I mean, so, you know, I'll be walking along just in my day, I'll be at college, and somebody has a need or something, and I'll pray for them. He said, the Lord still does the healing, but maybe 50% of the time. And 50% of the time, it's not happening. What do you think of that? What does that stir in you? Yeah. I think we need to begin to see with different eyes. I think we need to begin to see the unseen realm and live more in it than the seen realm. I think we need to begin to pursue the tangible presence of God and His anointing on our lives individually and our life as a church. Now, I want you to know that my posture with this, I'm more of an intellectual. I kind of think of this stuff as kind of for the emotional Christians. Okay? And they have churches for those kind of Christians. And they can go to those churches, you know what I mean? But that's not, I mean, I'm more into the intellectual side of it and the theological side of it. I have a master's degree in theology and I love that. But I want more of Jesus. I want Jesus, and however He wants to come. And so I'm done with my fears and holding backs and my fear of letting him have whatever way he wants. And so, because when he touches you and he shows up, it changes everything. It changes everything. And there is an openness that you have to have, I think, to experience that, like a filleted out you that says whatever you want to do. A level of surrender that really requires you rending your heart to whatever holds you back from fully surrendering to him. And he doesn't hold his presence back with a stingy heart. He doesn't hold his anointing back, or the hand of the Lord was upon me. He doesn't hold it back for you. There's so many conclusions the enemy has led you to because you haven't experienced those things as much as you want to, or so many conclusions. Well, the Lord's rejected me, or all this garbage, and the enemy spins it and he tries to convince you of all sorts of things. But you can have it. But it does require a heart that's surrendered. I was asking the Lord about this morning. I was like, okay, Lord, what does it take? And here's what he said. I'll just tell you, this was just from my journal. And you can take it and just weigh it if you think it's from the Lord. If not, please reject it. But this is what I believe he said to me. Randy, my presence is manifest through interaction with me. It's universal. Think of romance. The reason connection and intimacy and presence is heightened with young lovers is because desire is high, attention is paid, and pursuit. And intimacy then is realized at the level of intercourse. Complete, fullness of presence. At least that's the way I made the model to be. And he said, Randy, desire for me and pursuit of me is the key. And then he reminded me of John 14 that says, whoever has my commands and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and what? Show myself to him. If you love him, he'll show himself to you. You just have to love him. But how do I do that? Because I don't feel a lot of love for God. Maybe you think, or maybe that, hits you. I don't feel that, Randy. And so I asked him, I was like, because I felt that today. I was like, Lord, how can I love you more? And here's what he said. Invite me to help you love me. Remember how you used to pray for more love for Debbie, and I give it. So throughout our marriage, there's been times where I've just, Lord, I need to love Debbie more. I'm struggling feeling this or whatever. We're having a dry time. Would you make me have more love for her? And within a week, oh baby, right? She all of a sudden she's gorgeous again, and he turns that around. And he's like, and he said, Randy, you can do that with me too. Invite me to fill you with love for me. And I said, oh Lord, I want you more. I want to be more in love with you. Would you help me? So we began the series about storming the gates of hell back in November, and we started talking about learning to hear God's voice in your heart and learning to tune into his voice. And for some of you, that was a stretch. Whoa. It's, this is stretch two. This is stretch beyond. And it's now time to learn to cry out to God and learn to invite and prepare for his presence and his anointing. Why am I talking about this? Because if we're to raise an army, we need that army to be anointed. If we're going to raise an army, we need the manifest presence of the Lord Jesus going in front of us. In Exodus 33, God is fed up with the stiff-necked, hard-hearted people of Israel. And he says to Moses, I'm done. You go. You lead these people into the promised land. I'll send an angel to clear out the land and to go before them. And Moses gets on his knees and he begs and he says, no, God, unless you go, unless you go before us, don't send us out. We want you, not an angel. And we need to have that cry too. You need to have that cry. No, Lord, I need you to go before me. And he said, okay, I'll come. I'll do it. And so, how to's. Just a few things I just want to give you on how to do this. Crying out. I did a study on crying out this week throughout the Old Testament, throughout the Bible, actually. And it's amazing how many times it says cry out. Moses cried out to the Lord over and over again. And then Moses cried out to the Lord. And then Moses cried out to the Lord. And then children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And then Samuel cried out to the Lord. And then Elijah cried out to the Lord. And Elisha. What is that? What does the word cry, cried out, what does that imply to you? Yes. An emotion and heart. Versus so-and-so mentioned to the Lord that he would like him to come. You know, if your heart's not in it, his isn't either. And so crying out, New Testament tells us pray without ceasing, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Draw near, James 4 tells us draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Your pursuit of God is the opposite of ignoring the passenger in the car. Okay? And so Hebrews tells us that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. How might he reward you if you earnestly seek him? The word earnest is about a heart that's serious, right? If you seriously seek him, he's going to reward you with what? His presence. His anointing. And realize that he's good all the time, so if you do earnestly seek him, he will respond. There are no people that earnestly seek him that he doesn't respond to because they're X'd out for some reason. Okay? He doesn't have a list of X'd out people. If you thought you were on it, you're wrong. Okay? And then believe. We need to have faith like Moses. It was Moses' faith that said, I don't want to go without you. And it's your faith that says that the presence of God and his anointing are available for you and you need them. And then Jesus, notice this. Mark 6. Have you ever noticed this passage before? Jesus could not do miracles in his hometown. It doesn't say he chose not to. He could not because they didn't have faith. If you don't have enough faith to seek him or want this, then you're not going to get it. Because he can't do it. He can't overcome your lack of desire. Hey, buddy, how's it going? Pay no attention to the cute little boy. You just upstaged me. Hi, what's your name? You're sick? Are you? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Randy. Nice to meet you, sick. Okay. A couple more. Affection. Psalm 22 says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So God dwells when you share affection with him, when you tell him how much you love him, you love on him. It says he dwells in it. And then and we need to walk with God and live a holy life. Okay, so let's just spend a few minutes right now just inviting the Lord in. And so we're going to put on a little bit of music. And we're going to just invite Jesus to speak to you. You guys have heard what I have to say. I think it would be really good for you to hear what he might add for you personally. Okay? So let's go before him right now and just invite him to come and speak to you individually. Okay? So Jesus, You know every story. You know every bit of warfare. You know everything that the enemy has in each person in this room, and how some have become convinced that you don't want to speak to them, and some have become convinced that or are afraid of that. And like the children of Israel, afraid to go up the mountain because they were terrified of you. But Lord, would you show them that your heart is good, and that and walking with you is good, and that you're a loving Father. Lord, what do you want to say to us about this? Would you speak to your sons and daughters right now? In Jesus' name. I just want to love you more, Lord. I invite you just to pray this. Jesus, I want to want you more. I want to want you more. I know I've got a love problem with you. Would you help me to fall in love with you? Lord, I want your presence. I want your manifest presence. I want your supernatural touch. I want more. I want more. And I'm done with my resistance of that. I'm done hanging on to control. I will follow you. So Lord, if you want to use me to do whatever, heal people. Talk to somebody on the street. Speak, Lord. I want your hand to be upon me. And I want to walk through my life that way. So I cry out to you. I cry out to you, Jesus. Fill me with your Spirit and your anointing. Lord, raise up an army that is anointed. Raise up an army that's anointed to follow you, to take back ground that this enemy has stolen. Raise up an army that moves forward to speak into people's lives and listens to you and follows the movement of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The way we do offering and adventure and giving is we just got a basket in the back. And so on your way out, remember, if you filled out cards for the women's retreat, actually the women's retreat's sign up in the back, but if you fill out cards for the Love and War, which may I say to you, if you have not been through it and you're married, it is the most transformational thing I've ever seen in the area of marriage. So you can put your cards in the back, and then if you're planning on giving, you can put it back there too. And let's give to the Lord as an act of worship. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Thank you.